going on, Rams fans, and happy preseason week three to you all. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Rams Wire Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva, and you can follow us at the Rams Wire. Today, we'll be talking about last week's win over the Raiders, previewing the upcoming matchup with the Texans, talking about Rob Havenstein's deal, Junior Gallette not signing, Dominique Easley and Mark Barron returning, Aaron Donald update, and a few other updates from the Rams and heading into preseason week three. So we'll start with recapping last week's win over the Raiders. They won 19-15 on Saturday. It was really a sloppy showing for both teams. Not much offense to speak of. The Rams only found the end zone once. The Raiders had a chance to take the lead late in the fourth quarter with a two-point conversion. They failed. Really, it was a defensive showing against two offenses that admittedly didn't want to show anything as far as play calls go, audibles, and any sort of schemes that they have and are going to deploy for the upcoming season. So it was an ugly game, even for the second week of the preseason. None of the primary starters really played. The Rams had Brown and Samson Ebukam out there again, but really, it was a showing of the backups once again, whereas most of the other teams across the NFL played most of their starters, played it as kind of the pre-dress rehearsal before the preseason week three. So it was disappointing to see the Rams and the Raiders not going that route, but there were obvious reasons for that. Not only are they both trying to protect against injuries and really keep their best players out of harm's way, but the NFL did them no favors. By scheduling this game in the second week of the preseason, really just 3 weeks before the regular season kicks off, it was not a good decision by the league. And really, you can't blame Sean McVay or John Gruden for keeping most of their top guys off the field and really keeping the play calls simple. With these teams meeting in week one, you don't really want to tip your hand or show what you're going to do in that first meaningful regular season game. You don't want to show what your audible calls are going to be. You don't want to show specific formations or routes from the route tree. So the Rams kept it simple. A lot of screens, a lot of quick slants, and really just basic routes. Even with their backups in, neither team really wanted to give anything away ahead of their regular season matchup on September 10th. That's the Monday night game at 10 p.m. Eastern time. By the way, so it was really just an ugly game, and I wouldn't say that the coaches sent a message to the NFL, but really by not playing their starters and by keeping the game plan really simple, it showed that they weren't going to do anything to really jeopardize their strategy for week one, and the NFL should know that they made a mistake by scheduling that game. Both coaches said that it was a strange instance where the two teams that are meeting in week one are playing in the second week of the preseason. It didn't really make sense, and it cost them really a preseason game of getting their starters work. McVay wouldn't say whether or not he would have played his starters if it was against another team. Probably not, just because of the way that he's handled the injuries and things like that, but really it didn't provide him the opportunity to decide. It was an obvious choice to rest the starters, and that's the route that they went. So Sean Mannion played a little bit better. Brandon Allen played a little bit worse. That battle is ongoing, and it could really go either way at this point. Neither quarterback has stepped up and shown that they're deserving of the number two spot on the depth chart behind Jared Goff. We still haven't seen Luis Perez. Hopefully we'll see him against the Texans. If not, I would imagine the Rams would showcase him against the Saints in the fourth preseason game, but maybe they're doing this on purpose. Maybe they're kind of keeping him under wraps and hoping that they can sneak him onto the practice squad rather than having him poached by a team on waivers. So there could be a little bit of strategy there. I'm really anxious to see what he can do. I know he has a live arm. He's really accurate. He had a great last season at Texas A&M Commerce, and his story getting into the NFL is really an intriguing one and one that's fun to follow, just because he didn't have much football experience. He was a bowler. He was something like ninth on his depth chart when he first got to college. So Really a fun journey to follow, and hopefully we'll see him at some point. But that quarterback battle looks like it's going to come down to Allen and Mannion, and it could go either way. Personally, I would take a look at someone like RG3 or AJ McCarron if he's cut, or Nate Peterman. Not that the Bills are going to cut him, but really those veteran, those backup guys who can provide some assurance and possibly be players who can take the Rams on a little bit of a run if Jared Goff, God forbid, did get hurt. So, a few other standout players. I liked what John Kelly did in the first preseason game. He was a little more shaky in the second one against the Raiders. Kadarrell Hodge is another guy who continues to play well. He made a great 47-yard catch downfield. So he's making an impression on the coaching staff. Sean McVay admitted that. So he's been impressed with what he's seen from him. And then the offensive linemen, the rookies, Joe Noteboom, Jamil Demby, Brian Allen, they've all really stepped up. They played the most snaps of any offensive player against the Raiders. So they're getting long looks in the preseason, and I expect that to continue with Whitworth and Sullivan likely resting on Saturday against the Texans. So I like what I've seen from them. On the defensive side of the ball, Ethan Westbrooks continues to play well. Samson Ebukam, even though he's playing limited snaps right now in the preseason, he's shown some good flashes. So it's good to see those guys really coming into their own. John Franklin Myers, another rookie who played well from the defensive end spot, even kicked out to outside linebacker a few times. So those are a few guys that have played well in the preseason and played well against the Raiders. And I'll be looking forward to seeing them kind of continue to develop and play well as we approach the regular season. As far as the roster goes, it was pretty well known that the Rams had interest in Junior Gallette. He was brought in for a visit on Sunday night. On Monday, he took a physical, passed the physical, and even before he did that, Sean McVay said there was a quote-unquote good possibility that the Rams would sign him as long as everything checked out okay. He was expected to work out for the Rams on Monday. Apparently, that never happened, according to McVay. So it's really a strange situation regarding his availability. He's a guy who obviously he has some injury concerns in the past, having two Achilles injuries in 2015 and 16. But he played all 16 games for the Redskins last year. He had three sacks. Really a situational pass rusher. He didn't start any games, but pass rushers are tough to come by in the NFL today, especially starting caliber ones. And he looks like a guy who has the potential to be a starter for someone. It's strange that the Rams put him through a physical. He passed the physical, but then opted not to work him out. His tweets on Twitter have been a little bit cryptic, saying that he's just on to the next one. He visited the Seahawks. He was supposedly going to visit the Raiders. But all these teams are moving on relatively quickly from him, which is strange to see. That's not to say he's an elite player or a guy who's going to have double-digit sacks for whichever team he signs with. But he does have the ability to get after the quarterback. He has good experience, and he's someone who can work with those young pass rushers on the edge and help them develop into even better players. So I'm a little bit surprised by the situation surrounding him. I don't know if it's off the field concerns. I don't know if it's questions about his durability. Maybe it's something, not that he's ever protested in the past, but maybe there's something surrounding that situation. I don't know. He said on Twitter that he's willing to play for the veteran minimum. If that's the case, I don't understand why a team won't come calling right away and sign him to a deal like that. But the Rams aren't going to sign him. Sean McVay said that on Tuesday in his press conference. And he said, "We wish him nothing but the best. It didn't work out for reasons that we'll keep inside, but we have a lot of respect for him." So, really, just kind of a strange situation with Gallette. The Rams are in obvious need of some help on the edge. Matt Longacre was injured. He returned to practice on Tuesday. Ogbonnia Okoronkwo is another guy who's been injured all offseason. So there are major questions at the position outside of Ebukam. And it kind of seems like opposite him, it's going to be a wide open competition for anyone to grab. Gallette was a guy who he wasn't guaranteed to make the roster if he did sign, but he could have provided some leadership, some veteran experience to a group that's really, really young. And I'm just surprised the Rams didn't give him a longer look or at least put him through a workout. So there must be something going on there that the Rams aren't willing to disclose, and that's their right not to say anything. But just a bizarre situation regarding his availability, even into August. I would think by now he'd be signed. So we'll move on from there because the Rams are, and talk about something else that is a little bit more positive and uplifting, and that's Rob Havenstein's contract that he just got on Monday. The Rams signed him to a 4-year extension. It was worth $32.5 million, $16 million guaranteed. So about half of it is guaranteed for him. And that's a good deal for a really young right tackle. I think he's only 26 years old. He's going to be making $8.125 million over the next 4 years after this season. So the Rams are keeping him around. He was set to hit free agency after this year, and now they lock him up through 2022. The deal isn't necessarily a bargain. He's going to be the third highest paid right tackle as far as annual salary goes, and whether he performs at that level or not remains to be seen, but he was a solid player for the Rams last season, really good in run blocking. He's getting better as a pass protector. And the Rams really just like the chemistry that they have right now on the offensive line with Whitworth, Sullivan, Havenstein, and then those guys flanked by Roger Saffold and then Jamon Brown, both at guard. I was a little bit surprised to see them sign Havenstein right now. I thought maybe they would wait it out until the offseason with Brown and Saffold also hitting free agency. But it's a good sign that they feel confident in his ability. They're once again locking up another young player. Did so with Brandon Cooks and Todd Gurley. So now the offense is really almost set for the future as far as players under contract go. You still have Jared Goff, who's going to sign in a few years. Jamil Demby, Joe Noteboom, Brian Allen, those are potentially the heirs to Jamon Brown, John Saffold, and Whitworth, eventually, possibly as soon as next season. So there's a lot of young, good players on that side of the ball, and then obviously you have Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. So not a lot of questions surrounding the offense now, especially after signing Havenstein. Obviously, Brown and Saffold, with their expiring contracts, that's going to be a question all offseason unless the Rams sign them before that deadline comes, when they do hit free agency. But really not a lot of questions surrounding the offense right now, and they have to feel good about that. Now you look to the defense and you see guys like Sue and Peters and Tlaib and Joyner, who are going to be coming off the books in the next few years, and you have to wonder how the Rams are going to approach that. I would imagine that Marcus Peters is one of the next guys in line to get a new contract. Joyner, I'm not really sure if they're going to sign him long-term just because of the way that they've handled safeties and cornerbacks in the past. They don't typically like to give them long-term deals. When you look at Trumaine Johnson, Janoris Jenkins, TJ McDonald, guys like that. So it's possible that he hits free agency next year. They'll try to retain him. It's not going to be on the franchise tag again. So that's just another situation to monitor. The Rams do have a lot of salary cap space in the coming 2 years, but they also do have a few players that they need to get under contract. So just another update on the contracts, and really doing a good job of locking up the core young players for the foreseeable future. Going back to the defense, Dominique Easley, he's someone who we've talked about on the Rams Wire a lot throughout the offseason. The Rams signed him to a 1-year extension this year to kind of give him another chance after he missed all of last season. Obviously, you know the injury history. He's torn his ACL multiple times in the NFL, I think once or twice in college at Florida too. So there's obviously an injury history there, but the Rams are confident that he can bounce back. Sean McVay has said that he's worked really hard to get back into football shape and really get into a spot where he can contribute and make an impact for the Rams this season. By them signing him to a 1-year deal, it kind of shows that they're thinking along those lines. And it's a low risk, but I'm not really sure he's going to stick on the contract for this season. But the most immediate news is that he was activated off the PUP list on Monday. He returned to practice, and on Tuesday, the Rams made a little bit of a strange decision regarding his game. They gave him some reps at outside linebacker. We've seen Aaron Donald not necessarily line up at outside linebacker, but we've seen him put his hand in the dirt and really go up against right tackles and tight ends on a few occasions. He's done that with success, but alas, he's Aaron Donald. Dominique Easley, I'm not really sure he's going to have the ability to do that. Wade Phillips and McVay sound confident that they think he can really rush from the inside or the outside, but he's never shown that in his career. He's currently listed at 273 pounds. I don't know if he's been working to get his weight down in order to play outside linebacker. I'm not sure if this has been a plan the whole time. I haven't gotten a chance to really figure that out, but as time goes on, we'll get a little bit of clarity regarding his future with the Rams. Right now, it just doesn't look great, especially with them giving him a chance at outside linebacker. That's both kind of an indictment on the Rams' depth at the position because they do have so many guys injured right now, but it also goes to the sense that they're not really confident in Easley's ability to stay healthy and take on the wear and tear of going up against guards, centers, and tackles on a consistent basis from the three technique position at defensive tackle. He hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy. He really can't stay on the field, which that's really a concern when it comes to his game. Obviously, we saw him when he was healthy a few years ago. He had 3.5 sacks for the Rams. Looked really good. He played all 16 games, but in the 2 years prior, he played 11 and 11 games for the Patriots, missed all of 2017. So the injury history is there. It's just a matter of whether he's past that or if it's always going to be something that follows him. I personally don't think he's going to make the final roster, not because the Rams are giving him a look at outside linebacker, but I don't see him getting ready in time for the season to really have an impact and earn a roster spot. Ethan Westbrooks has looked really good. John Franklin Myers, Sebastian Joseph Day, all of those interior guys have played well in the preseason and easily may not take a single snap before week one. It's obviously he's going to practice. He's been practicing the past few days, but it's hard to imagine that he's going to really be in football shape and ready to go for the start of the season. And since they took him off PUP list, it kind of indicates that they don't plan on him starting the season on the PUP list. If he were to, he would have to miss the first 6 games of the season, but it would also open up a roster spot for someone else for the Rams. I find it hard to believe that he's gonna be able to impress the coaches enough in the coming 2-3 weeks to really earn a roster spot unless he can get in that final preseason game against the Saints. It's hard to go off of practice. It's hard to go off of film, which he doesn't have much of with the Rams. Even last year, in Sean McVay's first year as the Rams head coach, he didn't get much of a look at Easley because he tore his ACL in the first padded practice of camp. So there's not a real strong connection between Easley and McVay as far as he wasn't brought in by McVay. McVay hasn't seen a lot of him. So I'm just hesitant to give him a roster spot right now. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he did make it, but just looking at the facts and the numbers, I think they would much rather go with a guy like Westbrooks or Tanzel Smart or someone like that, who they've seen play and they've seen produce really in the preseason and at the NFL level. Easley just doesn't have the production in the past year to warrant a roster spot, so I'm a little bit hesitant on him, even though it is a good sign that he came off the PUP list on Monday. So it's a difficult situation for him, and I think the move to outside linebacker, not that it's a permanent move, but I think play defensive tackle full time. On a similar note, Mark Barron also returned from his injury on Monday. He returned to practice for the first time all off season, really, as he recovers from shoulder surgery and Achilles injury that lingered from last year. So he was a little bit banged up in 2017. He's finally back on the field, which is a good sign, but he's not going to play in the preseason. He's definitely not playing this week, and I think Sean McVay said that he's most likely not going to play in the preseason at all. He said maybe he'll be able to participate in the New Orleans game, but probably most realistic projection on those guys is to be able to see them week one against the Raiders. Barron, unlike Easley, he has a roster spot locked down. He's not going to be cut. He's not going to be traded. Although you never know with the Rams, but he's someone who the Rams really need to produce and have a good season in 2018 because there are major questions at linebacker. With Alec Ogletree gone, Corey Littleton most likely stepping in as the Mike. The Rams need some leadership from Barron. They need consistent play. They need someone who can step up and play well against the run, which is where they struggled most last season. So it's good to have him back. It's a little bit concerning that it took him this long to return to the field. It's a little bit worrisome that he's probably not going to play in the preseason, but he's another one of those veteran guys like John Sullivan, like Andrew Whitworth, who the Rams have confidence in. They feel he doesn't need any work in the preseason. So they'll be working to get him ready for the week one game against the Raiders, and hopefully he'll be ready. It's a little bit worrisome that he doesn't really participate in practice much. He's most likely going to have Wednesdays off routinely during the season. And he's being treated like one of those veteran guys who doesn't need as much work as the others. But I'm just a little bit worried about his durability. He's a good athlete, good linebacker. He needs to improve as a run defender and in coverage. But he does have good playmaking ability, finds the ball, and has good athleticism, like I said before. So hopefully he can stay healthy for all 16 games and really give the Rams run defense a little bit of a boost. But I'm a little bit concerned about how healthy he's going to be this upcoming season. Of course, we have to touch on Aaron Donald. No update there. Sean McVay said there's no stern deadline for the Rams to sign him. Obviously, they're aiming for week one so he can be available against the Raiders. But there's a chance that it's going to be like last season where he doesn't play any of the preseason games. He doesn't practice in camp at all. And then he skips week one of the regular season. So who knows? Really, it's hard to get an update from anyone on that situation. Reports last week said that there was a good chance a deal would get done before the end of the week. Even Downtown Rams was reporting the figures that were expected to come down. I think it was 24 million a year, something like 65 to 70 million guaranteed. That obviously never happened. It's who knows what happened with that report. Peter King said on PFT this on Wednesday morning that he thinks a deal is going to get done before the season begins, around Labor Day. So that would be, I think, September 3rd. Whether that gets him ready in time for week one, I'm not really sure, but hopefully a deal gets done before the regular season starts. The Rams have Super Bowl aspirations. They don't need something like a contract holdout looming over their heads, worrying about when their best player is going to get back on the field. So hopefully that gets done soon. It's really hard to get an update from McVay on that. Really, he plays it close to the chest either because he doesn't know the full situation or just because he doesn't want to give away any of the details from the negotiation. So, the Rams do have a game coming up on Saturday against the Texans. It's their third preseason game. McVay said that the starters are going to play. John Sullivan and Andrew Whitworth might get rested and not see the field at all, but he expects the rest of the starters to be out there against the Texans, which is really exciting and fun. Makes the game more exciting for the Rams and for their fans. They haven't seen Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, Dominican Sue, Brandon Cooks. They haven't seen any of them out on the field during a game, so that should be their first look at them. Whether McVay opts to rest someone like Sue, I don't really know. It's possible. But it's going to be exciting to see Jared Goff throwing to Brandon Cooks, Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib roaming the secondary. Hopefully, Corey Littleton, I would expect him to get some time at linebacker. Intrigued by his game and really what he can do for the Rams. So finally, a game where We're going to see the first team offense and defense out on the field. And it's really going to give a good glimpse at what the Rams have to work with this season. Some guys who aren't going to play, like I mentioned before, Mark Barron, Dominic Easley, wide receiver Josh Reynolds. He's going to be held out because of an injury. I think it's his ankle. Justin Davis has a hamstring injury. And then Gerald Everett with his shoulder. McVay said he's out of a sling, which is a good sign, but he's not going to be playing in this game. As for players who are, a few guys that I'm going to be watching, Sean Mannion, Brandon Allen, obviously still working through that quarterback battle behind Jared Goff. I'm not really sure how much Goff is going to play. Could be two series. It could be the entire first half. McVay hasn't really said what his plan with him is going to be. I'm continuing to keep an eye on Samson Ebukam. He's looked good in the preseason so far in limited action. He should get more playing time on Saturday against the Texans. Hopefully we'll see him get a sack or two. Corey Littleton, like I said, he's going to get some playing time next to most likely Ramiq Wilson, maybe Tigre Scales and Micah Kizer slide up with the first team defense or second team defense. Brandon Cooks, I'm kind of curious to see how McVay is going to handle his game, whether he kind of pushes him a little bit, whether he keeps him on the sideline somewhat for the second half. He's a guy who can run the whole route tree. He's not a Sammy Watkins clone like some want to make him out to be. He's not just a speed guy. He can do a lot for the Rams, and I'm really interested to see how McVay is going to show that plan a little bit on Saturday, if at all. And then Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib. I want to see how they work in the secondary. I want to see how Wade Phillips uses them in man coverage or zone coverage. I would expect a lot of it to be man. Their communication, their whether they kind of gamble on passes, whether they freelance a little bit. Really interested to see how they do and excited to see what the new Rams defense kind of looks like after a few changes over the offseason. So looking forward to that game. That's at 4 p.m. Eastern time at the Coliseum against the Texans and Deshaun Watson and that stingy D. So that's going to do it for today's episode of the Rams Wire podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Cameron DeSilva. You can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. And be sure to check out the Rams Wire all week as we head into the third preseason game. Thanks, guys.